Good morning, everyone. Dave Weiner here, and I've been doing screencasts lately, but this one's not a screencast, it's just audio, so I thought I would do a podcast. I've been figuring a bunch of things out, and because one of the things that's happened, I mean, this week has been the week of the rollout of the World Outline, and I think it feels like it's working. You never know about these things, and so I'm going to keep pumping out points of view, perspectives, more information. There's just a lot of information here to be communicated because it's a very multifaceted piece of software, and it has meaning for writers, for teachers, lawyers, librarians, designers, programmers. It's a lot of things come together here, because, and it's not speculative because it's outlining and it's the web and it's content management. So, you know, it basically has to deal with all this stuff because that's what all these things are about. And one of the things that's happened this week is it's brought back, I don't know how many people who have experience with Manila, which was my content management / blogging software that we did at Userland in the late 90s and into the early 2000s. It was sort of the testbed for blogging. I mean, it developed as blogging developed. So it started out with features that really weren't blogging features per se. It didn't end up being sort of the features of tools like Blogger or WordPress or Movable Type, Tumblr, whatever. That that there were more features to it because it started off being other things than blogging. For example, it had a discussion group in it, and that was the basis where all of the content was stored within a discussion group. And that was seen as being the editorial environment, that there could be many people working on one of these news sites. We were thinking about a news organization, you know, small or large. It wasn't really about the size of it. It's like, well, what would an online news organization need? And it would need a place to talk about the writing that it's doing. And then when the time came to publish a work product, a finished work product, and why not just have it come out of the same place where it was being discussed so that you could have a dual view of it? All these tools ended up having discussion software in it, but they put it in a different place. They had it for the people who were reading the articles. And there was no limit, by the way. The discussions could be open to the readers, too. In fact, that's how we did the discussion, the comment software in Manila. That, you know, it was all just a new UI on the same discussion software that we had always been basing it on. But blogging and Manila, so Manila did more than blogging. That was the point. So it had other structures. But the whole, why was blogging a good thing? Well, because it imposed limits on the content. It imposed a structure on the content. And in doing so, allowed us to simplify. So you didn't have to decide where an article would appear on your website. That was decided for you based on chronology. That we decided, okay, we can do chronology. We can put up displays of calendars. People understand that way of organizing things. It's not something that we have to invent. It already exists. And that allowed us to simplify the problem enormously, which is very important. It's important for a variety of points of view. It's important as a software designer because what it does is it nails down some variables. And it says we don't need to think about tools for editing structure and organization. And although that was a problem for us because we had this really wonderful tool for editing organization and structures, we had the Outliner, And so we couldn't stay away from that. And Manila had that ability. I don't think very many people used it. And it did not ever show up in any of the other blogging software. And so it's fair to say that if you've never used Manila and you've only used the other stuff, this is an idea that would be kind of foreign to you, that you could take an article and decide how it would be arranged in the hierarchy, and then that would be something in itself that would be malleable and editable and so forth. So, now that was, 1999 was the sort of crucial moment when all that gelled. And so that's, 13 years ago? It's already quite a long time. And all this time, I've been sort of puttering around, working on rivers and link blogging software and whatever, cleaning things up. It's kind of hard to, I have to, reconstruct it all. Well, I was also doing, fellowships at both Harvard and NYU and doing a lot of traveling and thinking and living and whatever else. So, sometime a couple of years ago, it was like, what I've been sort of trying to figure out was this really sort of basic problem. I wanted to edit all of my web content in an outline. And I figured if I could do that, then I would have the ultimate flexibility about how I could organize my editing environment. And to me, that was the important thing, right? I mean, it's important that it be presented in a coherent way to the readers. Otherwise, what's the point, right? So that's taken as a given. The end result has to be, and the end result has to be fairly standard. It can't be too whacked out because people won't understand it, you know? I mean, again, there's the pull of, the calendar structure was, everybody understood it. Whatever comes out of this ability to edit in any structure that I want, it has to be something that the resulting website has to be something that people understand, that they can read. And so that puts a pretty heavy constraint on it, right? But what I didn't want as a constraint was, this is a problem, is like, I would think of something that I had, that I wanted to write, an idea that I wanted to express. And the first question that comes up is, where do I put it? And this is like a really awkward question to answer when you're living in a blogging world, not just the blogging environment, because I've got 18 different blogs. Actually, it turns out I got a lot more than that. I've started blogs for all kinds of things, and they were all really legitimate reasons to start blogs because, they were defining new activities, new communities, and really they should have their own place. Like if I'm going to, start up a new developer project, I want to do RSS Cloud, for example. It's got to have rsscloud.org, and then there's got to be documents in there, and there's got to be a place to have discussions, and it's got to be its own place, right? And so the question comes up is, where are all these places that I've got? And I didn't have a good list of them. Well, I tried, always would try, and it would always be sort of something that I would spend maybe 25 minutes to an hour doing, and the end result would be very partial, and I would never come back to it, and I'd be left with all these, partial lists of supposedly all my websites. And there would always be things that were not on it, and I would know this. And when it came time to decide where does this go? That's the big question. Where does this go? I would never be able to consult those lists because, up front I knew that they weren't correct. They weren't complete. They weren't accurate. So what I figured was is that if I could get everything into an outline, one outline, basically, there where I could move things around as I felt were necessary, then I would have a much better situation. I hoped for nirvana, and but I just really expected to make it better, right? But there was this idea, and I thought of it as a page break, okay? How do I make a page break in an outline and say, this headline is a dividing line. This is where, if you go into this, it becomes a new website. And if you come out of it, It's a directory of websites. It's a portal. Think of a headline as a portal or just a gateway, a way to go between spaces, names, ideas, like to go from my list of all my websites into rsscloud.org or daveweiner.com, which I'm now finally using, you know. I've had it for a long time, but never could get that into my routine of places that I manage. And the answer, I knew that partially the answer was, let's put an attribute on a headline. Outlines are attributed hierarchies. I mean, it's a very sort of standard computer science structure. You see these popping up everywhere. A file system is an attributed hierarchy, which means that an item in the website can contain other items. An item in a file system can contain other items, which are in turn files and other folders, and they can have properties. They call them properties in the file system, or attributes, or metadata. They have a lot of names, but same idea. The web is the same way, you know, attributed hierarchy. And that's what an outline is. So I could put a bit on a headline that says, this is, and I thought of them like almost like page breaks. They're not like printed page breaks, but they feel intellectually like page breaks. I'm just flipping over here, and when I go from here to there, I change contexts. It's like, you know, on the subway, getting off of one train and getting onto another. You're still on the subway, you're still in the same fare zone, whatever, but you've just switched trains. You're no longer on the A train, you're now on the C train, you know. You're no longer on the C train, you're now on the 7 train, you know, or the L train, or the 1 train, or, you know. So that was only part of it, though, the bit, because how does this get communicated to the user? And then it hit me. Put a domain on these things. I mean, how do you arrive at that? Because, well, it's like the calendar. Why not use a concept? In other words, you have to use a concept that's already familiar to everybody. That's a given. If it's not familiar to everybody, they're not going to understand it, and it's not going to work. So why not use a domain? And that was it. That was the answer. I mean, why is it the answer? Because this is what's really going on. You know, that's the beauty when you finally get it. When you finally find the answer you've been looking for, there's no question about it. And it's it. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to organize all these different websites. And what is a website if it's not a domain name? That really is, you know, I mean, no reader is going to be that concise about it and say that that's what a website is. But that's what they think a website is. That's how they act. That's how I tell them my website is scripting.com. Go there. You know, there isn't a single person in the United States that, I mean, of course there are people, but the 99% of the people in the United States would understand that statement now. You want to go to my website, it's scripting.com. Boom, you're done. Now, then there was more questions after that. Once I know that's the answer, okay, I can do these things manually, but I know that's not going to cut it. I have to be able to, I mean, what manually means is, a procedure that has two problems. Too many steps. How do you go create a new CNAME, right? Too many steps, number one. Number two is different for everybody. I can't say, you know, this is how you create a new CNAME. What I have to say is go to wherever it is that you register your names. Oh, wait a minute, that's not good enough. What if you have your DNS somewhere else? See how the instructions get so complicated, they just explode on you. There's no simple, this is where you go and what you do, and you click on this, and you type this in, and you hit return, and you're done. There's nothing. It isn't like that. But we have to make it like that. And this is why everybody, this is why there's a disconnect on this whole idea. Because people have this, they haven't thought about it, okay? Why is it that DNS is so hard? They say, oh, my mother could never do that. It was, you know, sexist and ageist and all that stuff, but people think it anyway. I can't I can't imagine a user doing this, is what they're really saying. I said, well, why can't you imagine a user doing it? What's the problem? Write it down. Why is it that you, oh, well, too many steps. Oh, well, let's take some steps out. You know, I can't tell you one single place to go. Fine, let's do an API. And with that API, you don't have to go anywhere to do it. I will take care of that for you. And while we don't have a standard API for DNS, I know people are going to say that there is, it's DNS itself, but it's way too low level an API. It's, you know, and it, as it should be, because it's the, you know, lizard brain of the internet, it predates everything. And so why should it be a modern API? It couldn't be. Except for one thing, is that you can certainly put a modern API on it. And along comes Amazon. I forget when they did it, but it was like, I think it was like maybe October of last year. Along comes Amazon, and they break the wall for me with the Route 53 API and web service. I know there were other APIs around, but this has got everything I want. It's got every entry point that I, more than any, than I could ever possibly need. I don't need that much. Plus, it's being operated on a scale that I absolutely trust. And it's a solid foundation for me to build on in every way I need. And that's when it all started, just all the pieces started falling into place. And that's what you look for in a software project, is when you really sort of, you know, relax and let your, you know, just ask, what is it, how is this supposed to work, that you actually get back an answer. And that was the point at which almost every problem became like that. There really aren't any now that where there isn't a simple sort of like, okay, I understand how this has to work, I just have to do the work, right? And that's why this community is working now, because these, not only is it clear, was it clear how to do this, we've actually done it. And while there are problems, for example, with the umlauts in German, those appear to be encoding issues, and those are always thorny. But if you give it enough time, we'll figure out what the problems are, what's the best approach to solving it, and it looks like we'll get that one solved. We want to get some independence from Amazon. We'll get that too. Just all is just a matter of, at this point, it's a familiar process. It feels in many ways like we are where we were with blogging in 1999. Same idea, is that, okay, things have settled down a bunch. We now kind of see how the dimension of this. There is no competition yet. I suppose that I'm speaking here to the competition too, is that, you know, please, no gratuitous incompatibilities. You know, let's not look for ways to screw this up, because there's no shortage of ways to do that. I think this goes a long distance, and where it goes is, it gives us the next level after blogging. What happens when you have too many blogs, too many websites that you're writing for? All of our software is really good at managing pages. That's what it's good for. It does not do well once you get above the level of pages, and we're all above the level of pages now. I don't literally mean that. Some people just have one blog. Many people have zero blogs. But if you've got five of them, or you've got 25 of them, or you have no idea how many you have, you've got the problem, okay? And this is going up to the next level, where you now have the problem of wanting to really gain control, the same kind of mastery that you felt when you first started blogging. You want to get that same feeling that you're on top of your web presence, and you can create any structure that you need to create simply by just like reorganizing stuff and adding a few new lines. Really have factored down the simplicity to that level. And so I wanted to mark this, sort of say, okay, this is where I think we've gotten to. And it's not a how-to, I'm not trying to show you. I will do more screencasts for sure, because I think that was a big door opener. When I always wanted to learn how to do screencasts, and when they finally came out with that in QuickTime, I don't know when they came out with it. I learned about it from a Lifehacker article. It said, hey, this is how you do a screencast. And I said, great, this is what I wanted to learn how to do. And turns out it couldn't be easier. You just open up the QuickTime player and choose Start Screencast and click OK. And boom, you're now creating a screencast. It's like really amazing. Even I can do it. So anyway, all that in 20 minutes. That's what I wanted to talk about. That's my keynote for today. If you had invited me to your conference, wherever that might be, and you wanted to hear what I think, where I think we're at in June of 2012, well, that's what you got. Talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.